my income stopped, and that year we made $12,000 combined to survive on. And so I just went back in that time of like young and broke, newlywed, and like, you know, if it's our honeymoon, which was lavish and amazing, and then we get back to like ramen and bottled water, you know, like getting, just comparing those two, it's like our love is still the same and that feeling is still the same.
You're tuning into the Men of the Hour podcast, where I, your host, Justin Crawford, have been interviewing today's most influential men for over 2 years now on the show. And if there's anything I've learned in 6 seasons, it's that when you sit a man down for more than 30 minutes, you may get him to open up about some things he may never have before. And that's the point of the show. Thanks for tuning in wherever you're listening and being with us on this episode today. I truly hope you're able to learn something new and take something positive away from this conversation, because after all, that's what podcasting's all about. Welcome to Men of the Hour Podcast Season 7. All right, y'all, I told you we would get this multi-platinum triple Tigers recording artist on the show, and that is the man of the hour himself, Russell Dickerson. Dude, welcome to the show. Thank you for being so great.
What's up?
He entered this Zoom call. Mind you, guys, we're still podcasting on Zoom, but he entered the call, and it says Russell Dickerson. His name is not just Russell Dickerson. It has exactly 4 exclamation marks behind his last name, and that's the energy he brings, not only on stage, which you have a huge announcement we're going to get to, but then he ultimately brings us into probably everything he does, right, with life. I looked at your Instagram before this call. I've checked and I've been following you for a very long time. You are nothing but good energy. And I think that that's something that I'm so excited to get into the mix of this conversation with. But first and foremost, we're going to get into your latest announcement, all the great things that you're doing with music and your life and your wifey and your baby, right? And then how you feel ultimately. I know you've been super open about being the guy that, oh, everybody like loves Russell and he never sees a bad day. I'm curious to get your take on that. First and foremost, congratulations. You're about to headline your second tour, which is incredible. And then we have to talk about all the amazing music you have too. But dude, to headline 2 tours in a year is hard, let alone back to back, right? So how are you feeling about it? And congrats again.
Oh, dude. You know, thank you. First of all, super stoked. And I mean, there's so many different things that I'm excited about. It's like, yes, we're touring and it's all amazing. But dude, it's exhausting. You know, like I feel like, I mean, I'm out every single weekend until December 10th. Like we don't stop. And so that aside though, man, I'm so fired up because we kicked off the year with the All Years All Night tour and it was such a success. And, you know, even earlier this year, man, people were still kind of sketchy on COVID and everything. But now I feel like it's wide open. Everybody's down. Everybody's cool. And so, I feel like it's going to be a much bigger tour at the end of this year than it was at the beginning of this year. And I mean, with She Likes It doing what it's doing right now, it's that's my current single for those who don't know who the heck I am. this song is it's like turned out to be my biggest song yet, time like by double. And so it's just been an awesome year, man. It's been exhausting. It's been rewarding. It's been a big year we've been waiting for a while.
We'll go back to exhaustion in a moment because I don't think people realize how exhausting that can be for a worldwide phenomenon like yourself. And I say phenomenon because it's 122 million world streams, bro. And like, I know you see that number and it doesn't seem like a holy shit. Like, it's just a number sometimes, right? You look at your following, your downloads, the amount of times people stream it, the amount of tickets sold at a concert, right? Like, is there a huge difference, Russell, would you say, between like, how you were opening for folks to when you're headlining your own tours and how would you explain that in terms of how you really feel about how big this has blown up for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a complete mind shift for me because, you know, when you're opening for somebody, you're introducing yourself to their fans and, you know, you have the opportunity to win over, like with Tim McGraw. If people had never heard of me before, dude, there's like, you know, we're playing in front of 17,000 a night and you know, it's an opportunity to make 17,000 possible new fans. Mm-hmm. Granted, a lot of them already know my music, already know who I am, but that's a chance that maybe they haven't seen me live yet. So I am in win them over mode, where headlining is, it's a different like freedom on stage. Like I can stop in the middle of a song and tell a story about this song because people are there for my music and my music only.
Right.
And it's just this whole different, like it's our show. We can play as long as we want on tour. You know, you only have 50 minutes and you got to get off. But when it's my show, dude, I can play till 11:30 at night. And
with the people that are there for you.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that would be the most memorable thing. Like people, I mean, I've heard people talk about it. Like, dude, they played for 3 hours and, you know, I mean, just, it's a totally different mindset when you're headlining that I love.
Yeah. You said win over mindset, right? Win them over mindset. There was a term a long time ago, actually, from where you're from and where I'd spent a lot of time in Tennessee, win others over. And I'll bring that up quickly, just in the sense that like, that's what it takes to get to your now level of millions of streams, right? Many, and I can go down this list, but y'all, I'm just going to put it in the description below because I don't want to kill Russell's time. But you think about yours, Blue Tacoma, Every Little Thing, Love You Like I Used To. We all listen to it. We won't stop listening to it because it's just, it's almost like the music that I've heard from you, not only as a fan, but you're in the country music scene. You produce and sing in a way that people want to keep clicking play, come back to it 2 months later, come back to it at their wedding, you know, and then you've been able to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But in what sense did you weave in, all right, I know people are going to want to hear this. I know it's going to win them over and I want them in my community of music.
Man, it just hit a point for me songwriting wise that I was like, you know, when I first started out, you know, you have influences and like, I was singing like super low, like Josh Turner, like, yeah. And then, but then like I started playing guitar a lot. And so I was like, all right, well, like Keith Urban is the vibe. And then there was just, it was like in 2014 or 15, it just like this shift happened. And I was like, dude, what? I got to stop trying to be somebody else. Like, what does Russell Dickerson want to say? What does Russell Dickerson want to sing about? And I just got married and, you know, I came in with this song title called Yours. And from January 24th, 2014 on, it was just, I put everything I had into that song because I knew it was a hit and I knew it was going to be big. And yeah, there was just that shift of like, that's me. That's what I want to say. Like, I want to sing about my gorgeous wife and I want to sing about the positivity in life and stuff like that. And yeah, I just feel like that was a very welcomed message at that time in country music.
Mm-hmm. And even now, as I'd mentioned, I think you can look back so many years later as, you know, I might've clicked play on Yours 5 years ago. I can listen to it this morning on the bike. You know what I mean? Just as much as I can listen to Home Sweet, which we'll get to in a second too. Mm-hmm. And if y'all don't know these songs or even didn't even know who Russell was before you came back to this podcast, or you came from his side of the house, you're in for a treat. We're going to link everything below. But then you start thinking, I mean, what has to be the hardest part about being an individual in the music business and not just country in general? What have you experienced that you were like, you know what, this is pivotal. I'm going with Yours. I'm taking it off and I'm going to be the Russell that I want to be. And you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. And either way, you're going to click play on my song because obviously people are clicking play whether they love it or hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in your business, that's entertainment in general, but more specifically with music, what's the hardest thing about being so individualized, independent, and being comfortable with being so?
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge thing for me is to, I mean, with anybody, dude, you see, like, I mean, when I first started out, like I came up with Florida Georgia Line and like we wrote songs together back in college. And so like once they started popping off, it's so easy for people to be like, oh, that's what I want to be. You know, I want to do Cruise, the songs that sound like that and blah, blah, blah. And this, I mean, you name it, dude, artist after artist tried to be Florida Georgia Line. And I was like, you know what? Like there's only one Florida Georgia line and there's only one Russell Dickerson. And
that's right.
They can't be the same. And so just stayed the course, kept going. And then, you know, I mean, dude, you look at the timeline, and then like after FGL comes Luke Combs. Now everybody's going for this dusty country gravelly thing. And you know, and then like now everybody's trying to do that. But if you look at my timeline, my songs are all in the same vein. It's all the same vibe. I've always been who I'm going to be. If it's not the biggest thing in the world right now, cool. But if it is one day, beautiful. And it's all going to be, I feel like when people discover my music, it's not this wishy-washy, like super poppy album and then super country album and then this sure. and that. It's just like when you listen to yours and when you listen to, you know, my new album, you're going to hear consistency and the same, just the same me throughout all three albums.
Mm, which are also going to be linked below. Y'all, I'm telling you, his music's something. I'm staring at him on the Zoom call. And I'm like, dude, we should have did this in Nashville in person, because your music, I want to bring up one song in particular, and that's Home Sweet. I've listened to the original and the one featuring Lady A that came out like a little latter of last year. And I think that it touches home, because what's crazy, and I don't get personal on this podcast because this is your episode, but because your music is such a big influence, it's the one song I'll click play to landing in Nashville where my family is, where I go like, you know, every other month or something, but it's always, it is nice. It's comforting. I'm getting goosebumps because it's freaking something that not many people are able to like tune into and actually start thinking of, like home, what it means to them, why it's home. Home is where the heart is, at least for military brats like myself. So for you, when you wrote that in particular, and now that it's still something people like myself listen to all the time, what was the messaging of that? And then as the songwriter and person whose vocals are on the track of something so intimate to people who are traveling and maybe away from home, maybe trying to get home to their wifey, what was that for you then and now?
Yeah. I mean, the song came from just this. So my producer was like, home sweet. He said like home sweet us or something. And I was like, what about like home sweet you and me? And so that's when we kind of started the trail. Like, what does that mean? And dude, I just went back. So the first verse really just talks about getting back from our honeymoon. And I had just gotten dropped from my songwriting deal, and which means my income completely stopped because I wasn't making money on shows. I wasn't like out touring yet. And so my income stopped, and that year we made $12,000 combined to survive on. And so I just went back in that time of like young and broke, newlywed, and like, you know, if it's our honeymoon, which was lavish and amazing, and then we get back to absolutely like ramen and bottled water, you know, like getting, just comparing those two, it's like, our love is still the same. And that feeling is still the same, whether it's, you know, whether it's a marriage or a hometown or your family or whatever, like that's what I think is so cool about this, about Home Sweet is like, and honestly, like yours too, like other people are like, yeah, I sing this song to my dog. I'm like, amazing. Like if that's, if that's your person, if that's your dude, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Right.
But that's just what I think is so universal about Home Sweet is, you know, whether it is a human being or a pet or a physical house, whatever it is.
Yeah. And you say universal, but that's like, this is so cliche. Music is universal love language, and it's everything that what you've been able to do with your music. Going back, you mentioned exhaustion though at the very top of this conversation, and I think that that's an important topic to just discuss because we're all fucking tired. And so I think that in order to come out of tiredness, this is just my candid thoughts, I think someone like Russell Dickerson with your music, your energy on social, you have like a Twitter and Facebook page people can probably go to. Again, all this stuff's going below because I don't have long with you, but you think about your optimistic and positive, you said it, positivity is part of your brand. It's part of who you want to be, right? Loving people, meeting them halfway, loving your family, but bringing them into your life. And these are all great qualities that I know have taken a lot of time for you, especially in such a difficult business, especially on a $12,000 a year, salary budget that you guys were with, you know, and ramen noodles and water. Are you kidding me? You probably had to use the water to make the ramen noodles. Like, that shit's hard and it's tiring. Once you go through it though, you're on the other end of it. Headlining your own tour. Second one in 2022, maybe 22, like two and two, get it? Like, I don't know, maybe that's a lucky thing for you. But you think back to when you felt like there might have been a more optimistic and positive mindset shift for you. Was there a particular moment? Was there something you told your wife? Was it when you had your baby? You know what I mean? Like, was there a moment in time when you said, you know what, this is my mindset from this point forward?
I mean, I've always, to even get going in this business, you have to have that attitude. And so I've always had the attitude of like, it's not if, it's when. Like, it's not if this is going to happen, it's when. When is it going to happen? When is it going to pop? Like, I remember in the van days, like when we were driving across America playing shows in a van, I was like, I'm going to be in a bus one day. Like, I'm going to have a bus one day. I'm going to have songs on the radio and I'm going to play massive concerts. It's just like, when is that going to happen? Not if. And, you know, it's just like, if there's ever a plan B, like, it's not going to happen then. Like, it's just like, you have to keep going. And sure, there's TikTokers popping off and having, you know what I'm saying? Like, cool, dude. Like, where are you going to be in 10 years? You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, if this isn't your number one passion, if you're just like, I just kind of wanted to try this and like it pops off, cool. But like, where are you at in a decade? It's that tenacity and mentality that makes that. Like, I mean, you know, Aldean, Luke Bryan, like the dudes who've been doing it from the younger generation that are still crushing it. And that's just, I look up to them so much because they've been doing it so big for so long.
Yeah. Consistency.
And that's, consistency. And I mean, dude, I'm a super positive, happy, outgoing person, but like, I don't wake up every day like that. Some days I do, but like some days I'm like, God, dude, I just want to stay in bed, turn off the lights, sleep. But you have to get up. You have to change your mentality. You have the power to do that. Like you can change your attitude. And I feel like people don't realize that sometimes. They're like, oh, I feel down. So I'm just, well, I guess it's just a down day. I'm like, dude, no, it's cloudy here in Nashville. It's like raining, but here we are. We're chatting. We're doing it. I'm on interviews all day, making it happen. And it's just, you just gotta do it. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me and maybe that's insensitive, but like sometimes you just got to get your ass up and do it.
Let's watch that little soundbite go viral on Instagram a little later. I can imagine now we take that little clip of him saying, just get your ass up and do it. And
do it.
We've not heard it that way before, Russell. But speaking to exhaustion real fast, I mean, you said it. Some days you're like laying in bed and you're like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I just want to like lay here and turn the lights off and go straight back to bed. What's motivating you on those days? Is it family?
It's usually, honestly, it's show days, man. Like when you've got... I mean, when you got three shows in a row, four shows in a row, you know, sleeping on a bus is not ideal. You know, I call it, you probably get 65 to 70% sleep, you know, so it's like, did you wake up? You wake up exhausted because you did not sleep good at all.
Right.
And so really it's like on that third show in a row or fourth show in a row day, I mean, sometimes I go into like conservation mode. Like I got to go take a 3-hour nap in the middle of a day just so I can put on the best show possible at night. And that's okay. Like it's not like I'm going out there like to take a nap because I'm depressed or whatever. It's just like, dude, I'm just exhausted straight up, like physically exhausted. And I'm always super sensitive to that because I go hard. I try to do everything with everybody. Like people go and play golf, people are going to play whatever or going to a brewery or going to this like during the day, but I'm like, dude, I just got to chill, man. Like, I have to make sure that when I go on stage tonight, I'm 100%.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like knowing your social limits too.
Yeah.
Right. And so like someone that's as busy as you are and how you've gotten, are you, especially when you go back to Tennessee, are you still seeing friends and family? And then how are you balancing social life as you're about to gear up for another tour, knowing you're not going to be back for a long time? Mm-hmm. Where does that sit in Russell Dickerson's mind? Because that's like, that's a big part of your life, right? I know you're mm-hmm. homegrown. And I know that like when you go back home to Tennessee, there's got to be some element of friends and family that you want to see, but you can't all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially in the last 3 or so years when touring has just been crazy. Yeah, there is a definite kind of a filtering of the social life for sure. You have to be a lot more intentional mm-hmm. and really, I mean, it's shifted a lot more towards family because, mm-hmm. well, I mean, we had a kid in 2020. So, you know, that really shifted our time a lot more towards family and having, I mean, we have two grandmas here in Nashville, so they'll come over, they'll hang out with Remington, and we can go have like a little social outing. Like tonight Sure. we're going out with some friends for dinner that we haven't seen in a little bit. And so, yeah, man, it really is. It funnels down. You can't just like go out every night and just say yes to everything. And it's a lot of, we've had to learn how to say no, mm-hmm. which sucks sometimes, mm-hmm. but it just is like we physically cannot do that.
Of course not. You're in dad mode. Speaking of dad mode, you bring up Remington. I was going to do so. I wanted to spend a couple minutes being a dad, right? I have probably a long time. You, how has being a dad now influenced your life? I'd say career. No, your life is your career. So like how has being a dad influenced it? In a positive way. And if you could speak to dads who are listening to this podcast or want to be dads, what are you telling them?
Man, I just feel like anything that takes me out of the house and away from him has gotten 10 times more intentional. So it's like, people want to write songs with me. People want me to come here, go there, do this, do that. And I really have to look and like, first of all, is this a beneficial like co-write? Is this song like, you know what I mean? Like, do I think we're going to get a fantastic song today? Or are they kind of mere songwriters that are trying to pull a favor for somebody, whatever. And then when I get in the room, I'm like, all right, like, let's go. Instead of just kind of lollygagging around, it's like, all right, this is the idea. Let's go here. Let's try this. Let's do that. Let's go. Because not that I want to rush creativity, but I don't want to just like, I don't have all day to just sit in a room and, you know, be away from the fam and just kind of shoot the breeze. You know, like I'm here. I want to, let's write a song. Let's get a big old banger and let's go home.
You probably have already clicked on some of Russell's music, his YouTube channel, and, you know, go sign up for tickets. We're going to link it below. You know, speaking of links though, I mean, obviously you got pre-sale tickets out now for She Likes mm-hmm. It tour. And if you go now, it's RDFAM. So that's Russell Dickerson fam, RDFAM 2022. If you use that code, when you're going mm-hmm. into the pre-sale mode on the website, Russell, dude, I could spend 19 hours with you. But you just said it, you got to be very intentional about who you're saying yes to. So for saying yes to coming onto the Men of the Hour podcast, when I've been trying to get you on for 2 years, I've waited, I've been to shows, dude, I've watched and I've like been on the balcony of the Irving Plaza to look down at you and be like, all right, dude, when are you coming to this podcast? But before we go, and I say go because Russell has other interviews that he has to get to, you know, I got one more question just about where you see your life going, forward. I like asking questions about like, you know, looking forward, what are you looking forward to now that you kind of know what the rest of this year holds, but for you, not as the dad, not as the singer songwriter, not as the multi platinum artist, I think now you think about what you want to do for you, especially now that you're at home in Tennessee. What are you looking forward to? And then how do you plan on getting there?
I mean, it's hard to talk about food when you already ate, you know what I mean? So right. It's hard to talk about being excited about more touring when I'm touring my face off right now, but I'm looking forward to, I mean, I'm looking forward to that first like sold out arena show, you know, like that's what keeps me going. Like when we were in a van, getting the bus, like looking forward to like a sold out arena show is what, and it's scary. It's like, dude, that's a lot of tickets. That's a lot of people. Like, will you get there? Yes. But when? I don't know. But just my dreams have always been touring related, like live show related, having like a massive arena tour and just having songs that the world is singing, you know, like the world, not just country music, like everybody. And so I mean, I think we got some of those on this third record, and that's just, I'm so proud and stoked on this music that, and everybody's like, yeah, dude, this is the best album I've ever made. Always. They always say that, but like, this is by far my best body of work. And I don't know how, like, I'm listening to these songs, I'm like, where did half of these come from? Like, I don't even remember writing them. I was just like blacked out for the last year and a half making this record. And it's just, I'm so stoked, dude. I can't wait for y'all to hear it.
Good, man. Like you had said, it's not about if, it's when these things are happening for you. I'm really excited for you. I think all of us who tuned into this episode, first of all, thank you for clicking play. There's a million podcasts out there, Russell. So if they clicked on this show because they saw your name or because they subscribed to the show, I'm just glad you guys tuned in. And I hope you learned something a little bit more about Russell, especially when it comes to music, man. I think that's who you are. Your music is your life. And this is really cool to hear out loud. So thanks for giving us all your time and energy. Good luck. Go rest and recover. You said it, man. Take a couple of days where you can spend time with the family and friends in Tennessee. And then from there, go on your second tour. We'll be right there behind you, hopefully getting to some of the shows. In the meantime, everybody who's tuned in, everything we've talked about is going to be linked below. So if you want to follow Russell, he's on Twitter, Facebook. Well, I should say Instagram first, right? Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then as I mentioned just a bit ago, She Likes It Tour, the pre-sale tickets are out now. You can just use his code RDFAM2022. It's not exclusive to the podcast. It's like, I got that from his Instagram bio. So just get on there, get the pre-sale tickets, and then hopefully see you in what? November, right? Right.
November, dude. Yep.
Cool. Can't wait, thanks again, bro. Russell.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for taking the time, buddy.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.